different ideas about sexual immorality. They have different ideas about different topics. That we should not have different ideas of. If we've got Jesus Christ on the inside, praise God, we should all speak the same thing and have like-mindedness in the house of God. Preachers don't even believe in hell anymore. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And they stand behind pulpits every Sunday in America. How in the world can they unify a church when they don't know the truth? Because they're scared to know the truth and they're scared to speak the truth. And people are dying. Because I truly believe that there's still some people in our pews and in our communities that really want the word of God. Paul ended that verse and said, do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeits? Man, I don't want to be a counterfeit. I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want to go on trial for God and there's not enough evidence to convict me that I'm a Christian. I do not want that to happen in my life. I do not want to stand before God and say, you were afraid to preach that, weren't you? I'm not. I don't know what the end will be for me preaching the truth. But I can't go to bed with a good conscience and not preach the word of God. And ask the Lord to give me the strength and the courage and what Paul called boldness. If we're going to succeed as a church, and if the church in America is going to succeed, there must be an upper room experience. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. These were people following Jesus. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he asked, into what baptism then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continually telling the people that they should believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and being obedient to him. On hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in foreign unknown tongues, languages, and prophesied, and there was about 12 of them. Now this is what's missing from the church. There's a lot of wonderful churches that are selling people cars with four cylinders. And preachers selling this doctrine that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is heresy. Stay away from those Pentecostal people. Stay away from those people that speak in tongues. Well, yet, on the day of Pentecost, the church actually became the church with power. In Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God fell upon them in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, I would venture to say in most Pentecostal churches, a few people in those churches have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the first evidence of speaking in other tongues. I don't really believe that you can stay afloat the way you need to without the power of God in the last day. I really don't. I believe that we have to seek the upper room experience. Even if you already received it, there's a continual outpouring. Because the Word of God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Listen to the words, in the last days. You see, everybody's going to get something. Those that seek God will get the Spirit of the living God. Those that don't will get the spirit of judgment. It's coming. You see it. If you look, life is going to change. Life is changing. The supernatural is going to become so obvious to the Christian. The visitations are going to come to the Christians. The Lord's going to walk into your room. The Lord is going to speak a word to you when you're going down the road. There's going to be revelations to those that are connected, to those that will abide by the rules and regulations, to those that go to the upper room and tarry and wait for the Spirit of God to come upon them. Because if you look at the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, a few chapters later, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit and the building shook. My God, I'm waiting for the building of God to shake right here in truth. I'm waiting for every Christian to be rebaptized in the power of the Holy Ghost and for God to move in an unprecedented way like He's never moved before. Where visitations from the Lord will be common. And also visitations from the kingdom of darkness, that we can rejoice that the enemy is trying to persecute us even when we're sleeping. But we can arise, praise God, the next morning with the Spirit of the living God and say, God, whom should I fear? Whom should I fear? Rules for living. You must be born again. I believe you do yourself a service if you get that baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then there's rules for living in the kingdom. And this is where it gets a little touchy. This is where people get a little anxious, because God outlines the rules in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, finally, all of you should be of one and the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each the other as brethren of one household, compassionate and courteous, tender-hearted and humble-minded. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult, scolding, tongue-lashing, berating. But on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare, happiness, and protection, and truly pitying and loving them. For know that this to this you have been called, that you may yourselves inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, and deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace and harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations, listen, with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue and go after them. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil, to oppose them and to frustrate and defeat them. Wow, that's... Man, I'm responsible for that. And so are you. This is rules of the kingdom. God says you need to abide by the rules. Wow, Lord, listen, you can't do that, your own body, soul, and spirit. You need the born-again experience. And you need that experience renewed. You need that spirit presently. The Word of God, the Word of God is present. The Word of God wants to come to us every day and renew our mind and renew our spirit. And when we get into this place where we're violating 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 and so on and so forth, we need to go back to God, because we can get a critical spirit and we can get a spirit of bitterness, and that root goes real deep. And the Bible says that root not only poisons the person, but poisons those around them. This is not unity if we break these laws and rules and regulations. This is the Word of God. It's choice. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you. This is the man of God speaking to the church, to walk and lead a life worthy of the divine calling, which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing one another, and making allowances that you love one another. Making allowances. And be eager and strive to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Lord, am I doing that? Am I pursuing peace? Am I pursuing unity? Jesus said, if you're with me, you're with me. If you're against me, you oppose me. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, abide in me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, I'm not saying that we cannot call sin, sin, and that we can't approach an individual or individual and say, hey, listen, there's something not right going on here. But we must approach that even with the intent and motive of saving of the soul. Not trying to kick somebody out of the kingdom, but trying to keep someone in the kingdom. Amen. The church in America is in trouble because it's divided. And the world is looking at us and they're laughing at the American church. Because one preacher gets up and says this, one preacher gets up and says that, and they have all these different opinions. But I don't need your opinion. I want to know the rules and regulations of the kingdom. You preach the rules and regulations and I can really discern that. You preach your opinions, you lose me. I don't need your philosophy. I need what thus saith the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says these words, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I'm a last day preacher. I'm still alive. Thank God. And I try to admonish people. Church is really important. Assembling yourselves together is really important. Not because Colombo says it. Because God says. And when does he say do this? Especially as you see the day approaching. As you see what day? The day you're living in. The day is here. The end times are here. You got to be on Mars right now not to understand that. You have to be cooped up somewhere for the last 50 years. And not know that this is the end time. This is the end time. And the enemy wants to pick you off. The enemy is going to try to get you to break the rules and regulations of God's kingdom. The enemy is going to try to stir up disharmony, jealousy, conceit, anger, bitterness, and hatred among Christians. Because a house divided is a house that falls. A house divided is a house that falls. And eventually the house falls. Because why? It's a biblical principle. Especially when the rains come and the winds blow. And friends, the rain is going to come and the winds are going to blow. And I want my house built on a rock, but my house is not just me and my family. My house is the household of faith. That's the family of God, my friends. And until you understand the concept of what you're a part of, if you want to be on a team, go play a sport. If you just want a friend, go down to the local bar, put your foot up on that little step, and order one from Joe, the bartender.
I'm not a bartender.
But if you want family, and listen, family is work.
Yes, it is.
Family is work, kids. Family is work.
Yes, it is.
The enemy is always trying to get in. His enemy is always trying to seduce relationships. He's always trying to get in there with division. He's always trying to sneak his ugly little head in there. Because he's a snake. And we have to recognize that. And we have to help each other. When you hear the snake hissing, you need to warn your sister and you need to warn your brother and say, "Don't move. I hear a hissing." And all of a sudden you say, "Don't move. Because now I hear the wind blowing." Amen. And the wind is going to blow that hiss away. If we stand together. How can two walk together unless they agree?
That's right.
How can two walk together unless we agree? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 25. Stay with me for a few more moments. Because these are rules of the regulations of the kingdom. So that there is no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike have a mutual interest in and care for one another. Man, this sounds like God wants me to be loved. This sounds like God wants me to be cared for. This sounds like God wants me to be embraced. By who? The world? My boss at work? I don't think so. By my family. The family of God, what does it say? And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. Now look at what it says in verse 27. Now you collectively, amplified version, are Christ's body. And individually, you are members of it. Each part severally and distinct. Listen to this now. Each with his own place and function. Did you like it? I didn't. I'm going to play it again. Did you like it? Let me try one more. Did you like it? I didn't like it. Because it's not my place. It's not my function. That's not my function. I'm realistic to know that that is not my talent. That belongs to Miss Peggy. I can't play that thing. I drive you out. See the look on your face when I was playing? It wasn't one of, "Oh, let me hear that tune again." I really enjoyed that, Pastor. I don't think I'm going to get a card in the mail saying, "I really appreciated your piano playing today." I don't think anybody's going to put on Facebook, "Boy, the pastor, I didn't know he had a new talent." I stink at that. I stink at art. I can't even draw a stick figure. My kids say I put too many legs on it. Remember? Dad, you got too many legs. I can't even draw a stick figure. It's not my talent. I can't fix a car. I can't. That's okay. Because God called me to be a preacher. God called me to be a teacher. God called me to be a counselor. I know my place and function in the body of Christ. And I don't have illusions. So what does he say? It says, so God appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers. Second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Third teachers, then wonder workers. Then those with the ability to heal the sick. Helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown tongues. Are all apostles? Are all special messengers? Are all prophets? Are all inspired interpreters? Of the will and purposes of God? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all have the power of performing miracles? No. Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? And this tongue here is the tongue that gets interpreted in the church body. It's not the tongue that you receive in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll preach and teach on that somewhere down the road. I have a book on it that I've created. I've worked hard. because I can't stand creatures who get up. Well, what does it say in the Word of God? All who speak in tongues, that's a different gift. That's a gift when someone, when the music stops and God's presence comes and the tongue is given out and then the interpretation. That's whole different than the prayer language of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are so ignorant in the body of Christ. People write books about this and they call us heretics because they don't understand God's word. And they use this scripture to indict us that we're heretics when they're ignorant preachers. And they're actually heretical preachers, teaching people false doctrine. And that corrupts the body of Christ collectively. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you still a more excellent way. One that is better far and the highest of them all, love. That's the greatest gift that you can have. And that's what's missing from America. That's what's missing from our places of employment. That's what's missing from our families. And my God, that's what's missing from our church. What happened to love? I'm an imperfect human being. I'm a sinner saved by grace. My name isn't Jesus. I don't walk on water. I'm still under construction. But please love me. Help me. Don't oppose me. Encouragement. Hebrews says, provoke one another to encourage each other. Stir it up. Say, Lord, where is that? Whatever happened to that? That we praise someone. That we encourage someone. That we say, hey, good job. And I'm not looking for no applause. Please, those of you that know me, I'm not looking for that. But I'm just saying, when I put my arm around somebody and say, hey, good job, son. I appreciate you helping me. Justin worked hard because I use the translation that's not in our program. He had some work to do so that you can be able to visualize him and I can present this the way I wanted to present it. I appreciate it. Thank you, son. I appreciate that we can see the visual. I was going to give a handout. My wife says, please. People are going to look at notes and they're not going to pay attention. Let it be a visual. We'll work on it. My wife tirelessly typed all of these verses in the Amplified Version. I downloaded an Amplified Version hoping that I can copy and paste it. I paid for it, the Kindle version. And I try to copy and paste it. They can't do it. I was going to try to make life easier for my wife. She said, honey, I'll do it. I said, honey, it's late at night. I'm trying to listen to Trump roast Clinton. I'm sorry, was I not supposed to put that in the sermon? And my wife is trying to listen and she's typing, so I brought it over to the table. And I printed it and the next morning I started reading it and there was a few errors. And I said, I said, we have to make a few corrections. She said, well, what do you expect? You got me listening to Trump roasting Clinton, and I'm trying to type this late at night. She said, what do you expect for? I said, I'm not blaming you for nothing. I'm just telling you. Because I had to laugh. Yeah, you have to laugh. Amen. It's getting too serious. Amen. This is getting out of control. It's scary, man. I want to be in the kingdom. I want to follow the rules. I don't want to be ousted out of the kingdom. Let these old people crazy. Let them all fight, whatever. God's will be done somehow. I know that. The planets didn't collide last night. But I've got to stay in the kingdom of God. I've got to do the rules and regulations. And I've got to love one another. Let me close. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. How did these people do this? And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles. They listened to the men of God who were trying to help them understand the rules and regulations of the kingdom, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. And a sense of awe, reverential fear, reverence, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers. How did they do it? You know how they did it? Because they love one another. And the only agenda that was there present was the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting people saved.
Amen.
That was the agenda. Amen. That's all people wanted in the early church. And they believed Jesus was coming tomorrow, so they had to work endlessly and tirelessly. The church in America has not received that message that Jesus is coming. Because if it did, we'd be more earnest about our salvation. We'd be more earnest in protecting our salvation. And we'd be more earnest in helping people find the salvation that we have. That we would contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what it says in the book of Jude. Last scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in Him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassion and sympathy, fill up and complete my joy. Now this is the man of God speaking to the church at Philippi. He's saying, you want to make me happy in Christ? You want to really make me happy in Jesus? He says, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony. Wow. And being of the same mind and in one purpose. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factual motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others.
Amen.
What's God saying? It's not about us. It's all about Him and how to live in the kingdom by abiding by the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, we need each other to help keep the rules. We need each other to keep harmony. Because let me tell you what's at stake. If we get into a state of disharmony, think of it. If we get into a state where people aren't loving one another and forgiving one another and helping one another, and there's a break and a schism, how in the world can we reach people in your family or my family or our friends or people out there if we're divided? It's impossible. You see, I think what's happened in the body of Christ is that people say they're a Christian. But God is saying, are you living as a Christian? Are you living it? Are you doing the kingdom? Are you living holy and righteous before me? Are you putting off that junk that wants to infiltrate your life? And are you putting on God's love and the armor that He desires to give you? I shared with you in the beginning of my two experiences this past week or so. I shared it for a purpose. To show you light and to show you darkness. There's no doubt that as a preacher, I'm under attack. There's no doubt that my wife and I are fighting spiritual warfare. It's contentious. Thank God we have a wonderful marriage and relationship that we can fight the enemy. But he attacks our body, our mind. I'm not trying to give him glory. But that's the privilege of preaching. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
And there is light that wants to come to us. And there is visitations. upon God's handmaidens and upon his sons and daughters, visions and dreams that God wants to incorporate into the body of Christ and speak words of encouragement to us, because we all have a different office and a different administration. Whether it's a song, whether it's a word or a psalm, a revelation, a night vision, God wants to come. But it's not without cost. Because the enemy will come. And he will try to disturb us like he did me, until God spoke and said, say the blood of Jesus, plead it. Resist the devil and he will flee.
Amen.
He's going to come. He's going to fight you. He's going to try to take you down and dissemble your family. But the Spirit of God wants to come. Because the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee.
Amen.
And that's the fight that we have, not just individually, but collectively. Amen. And just let me say this one word. Don't get so busy that you forget the house of God.
Amen.
Don't you get so busy in your efforts and whatever your efforts are, whatever your motivations are, that you forget collectively the family and the kingdom that you belong to. Because this is your church.
Amen.
If you own it. If it's just a team, it'll be a team. And you'll act like a team member. If it's just a friend that you see now and then and speak to, that's the way you'll act. But if you desire to be assimilated into a family that we need to become in this last day, because the rain is going to fall upon the just and the unjust. And I want someone in my corner to comfort me when the rain falls upon me and it's distasteful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need people in my life that will encourage me, that will love me, that will accept me, that will affirm me, that will tell me the truth, that will help me. And I want to be that to you.
Amen.
Because when you look up the road, my friend, there's danger.
That's right.
But when you also look up the road, there's blessing.
Amen.
And I believe the blessings will fall from heaven if we stay together as a family, collectively. Our individual families, we're trying to win people to Christ, man.
That's
right. We're trying to get men and women and boys and girls in here that have been part of our family for years. This is the fight that's going on. And if we're going to have disharmony in the house of God, we're not going to be able to win them. But I'm going to preach to you probably next week on the explosion of what happens when people get unified in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a great sermon. And I'm giving you a pitch and I'm selling it to you right now. It's an explosion. I'm going to show you what happens in the Word of God when people decide to take hand in hand. And listen, it doesn't take a whole lot of people. It just takes people that want to be transformed from a team to friends to family, that will join hands together and spirit to spirit and soul to soul and say, guess what, Pastor? We're going to fight. I believe we can do miracles on the doorstep of the devil in the last day that we live if we get collectively unified by the power of the living God. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me?